Praise the Lord. I hope I didn't wear you out last time. There are some things in the Word that I want to share with you. And I am sure that they are going to sound somewhat strange. But I believe that it is the Word of God. And I believe that if we can grasp the reality of it, we will be able to have an effective relationship with Jesus Christ. And will give us the ability to accomplish what it is that Jesus Christ wants us to accomplish. I'm glad to see your notebooks and your pens. Because you'll need to get together after this and to dig into the Word of God. This is something that the Lord has been showing me for the last several months. And I want to share it with you today. I have tried to share it on a couple of occasions since I've been here in the Philippines. But every time I have started to do it, the Lord turned me into a different direction. I believe that this morning or this afternoon He will give me the liberty to share it. Because I believe that you are the people that need to hear it. You know, there was a people that were called the Bereans. They are mentioned in the New Testament. And they were a people that searched the Word of God. In so much so that it has become something of an expression in the church. That we should be as the Bereans. Praise the Lord. I notice the crowd is a little thinner. I think that's probably the Lord sifting it, so. Hallelujah. So I trust those of you here who are hearing have the strength to hear it. This was me last time, wasn't it? Praise the Lord, that's confirmation, because that's what I want to talk about. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, I'm excited in the Lord. I think that we are on the verge of a breakthrough in the Spirit. And I believe that that if we are diligent to press God, He will open the windows of heaven for us. Amen. So let us pray. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity, for the position, the place that you have brought us, for the ability that you have given us. Father, concerning your word, concerning the moving of your spirit, you see, Father, the needs that are here, and the need for us to be able to understand. The Bible is very specific. It says that in all of your getting, get understanding. We can have all of the wisdom in the world, but if we do not understand the mechanics of it, then it is of little value to us. Oh, I pray that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we might know the reality of our calling in election and the inheritance of God that is in us. We thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Where I'm going to start is in 1 Corinthians. Praise the Lord. Before I start, I have a word for the sister over here. For you, dear. For surely the Lord seeth you. He has heard your petition. He has heard your prayers. The people that you have prayed for. The circumstances that you have prayed about. And the desire that you have had for God. And for God to move within the very depths of your soul. For your soul has cried out for a greater reality. You have been aware and been made known by personal experience the hypocrisy that is in the church and the things that the church says it is, but it isn't. These are not thoughts, these are not concepts, but they are actual experiences. And although at times that these experiences have been painful and it has caused great harm and damage, as it would be to your soul, and even at times you would say, what's the sense of it? But it has created a desire within you to know the reality of God. And what the devil had intended to do in destroying your position of faith, and the harm that he wanted to bring to you to stop your development and maturity in God. God has turned it around and made it to give you a greater desire to know the reality of him. And surely the door of that reality is now before you. And even as it is written, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open unto me, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And so it is, my dear, that I would give unto thee the reality of my presence. For thou hast had the ability to pray and to intercede. And in that place of your closet, much damage has been done to the kingdom of hell. But it is now that the Lord would want to bring thee yet into a higher realm of understanding and experience. And in that which God will give unto thee, there is many that thou might be able to feed and to encourage. And that which thou seest in the Spirit, thou will be able to pray with greater accuracy and greater power. And that which thou wilt do by me, saith the Lord, will be greater in comparison to that which thou hast done in the past. So Father, we come by the blood of Jesus Christ. We minister your spirit of healing to the soul of this woman. The damage that is done to trust. The damage that is done to faith. And the damage that has been done in the ability to believe in God concerning people. My God, we ask for the healing of God to just move right now in the midst of her soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, dear. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9,
capítulo 9.
And I want to start at the 24th verse. Hallelujah. Everybody got it? Alright, know ye not that they which run in a race run, but one receiveth the prize.
Wala pa mo masayod nga ang nga sapagkat sa pagalumba ang tanan mga nagdalagan apil man sa pangga apan nga usar ra kanila ang makadawa sa gandik busa dumalagan kamo sa ingon aron makadawat kamo niini.
So run that you may obtain.
Hallelujah.
And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible.
Labot pa sa tanang mga butang sila nagahimo nini aron sa pagdaog sa usa ka purong-purong nga madunot ra.
I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight, not as one that beateth the air.
Apan kita aron sa pagdaog dili madunot. Busa ang akong ipilin, wala bahin, wala ako nagdalagan na wala'y tumong.
But I keep my body and bring it into subjection, least that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.
Inanoha, ginabuntog ko ang akong lawas o ginapantun ko kini. Basi unya sa tapos na ako makasangyaw ngadto sa uban. Ako ako pagkahukman sa nahinoon na dili diay tako sa pag-apil sa bangga.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to kind of encapsulate. There is a race to run.
adunay lumba nga ngayatong daganan.
There is a prize to be given.
Unya adunay presyo nga adunay kanti nga imong makuha.
But the prize is only going to be given to those who run.
Ang matagos sa kaibaganti ihatag lamang ni atong nagatagan.
Not only those who run, but those who run to win. Hallelujah. And it also says that you can make it. If you have the mind to make it, if you have the desire to make it, you can make it. But it also says that we fight not in ignorance, but with an intelligence to know what it is we are fighting. If I was to ask you, what are we fighting as Christians? Most of you would tell me probably the devil. How many of you would tell me the devil? Be honest, lift up your hand. You would tell me the devil. Those of you would tell me the devil. All right. Well, not so many of you are too brave. If I was to ask you the same question, some of you might say sin. How many of you would say sin? Well, for the rest of you who have not raised your hands, what would you say you were fighting? What is it?
Flesh, self.
Okay, flesh, self.
Okay.
What is flesh? What is self? Do you know what it is? Hallelujah. Alright, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1.
Okay, tanaw na to. Susiro na to rin sa primerong libro sa Biblia.
To find the difficulty or to identify what it is that we are fighting,
atong pamatud-an or atong susihon kung unsa kini mga butang na angay natong pagabuntogon,
we have to identify what it was in the beginning that God was wanting to deal with.
You see,
as you read Genesis chapter 1, you see that there are two things that God wanted to do. I should say really three things. First and foremost, God wanted to make a son.
Ang Dios gusto niya na mahimo kita ng mga anak.
But in order for God to make a son,
para na mahimo kita ng anak, paminaw mo,
the son had to be qualified to be called a son. You're going to have to really listen to me, because it can be very deep, very difficult to grasp hold of it. But look at this as a prep lesson for your final exam. Hallelujah. God had wanted to make a son.
Ang Dios gusto siya na magkabatong ngayon po anak na lalaki.
But he had to create an environment in which the enemy, the entity that he wanted to be a son, to become a son.
Ang kamatul-anan or ang iyang pamagi ni nga gibutang niya niya para iya kayong ma-aprobar kung kanak mag-isya iyang anak.
And it is not only about being a son.
Di lang kay kanak ra na mayunta na anak lagi.
As much as it is about being like God. Now, most of the churches, if I were to go in and to preach in their congregation and tell them that God wants them to be like Him, In this environment in which I am living, they will call me a heretic. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Because the churches do not believe in the process of perfection on this side of the veil. And I mean when I say the veil between life and death. What they believe is that you do the best you can, and in the process of time and crossing over into heaven, you become perfect. This is what they teach. Hallelujah. But it's a lie. And it's a lie that you can prove from the Bible. Because when the Bible talks about the heavenly host, the saints of God that have been gone on before us, the Bible says that they, without us, cannot be made perfect. Somebody can find me that verse. Hebrews 11, the last verse. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11, the last what? What are they? 38 and 39 39 and 40. Well, that's pretty close. Huh? 39 and 40. Does your Bible? Does your Bible say the same thing? Your translation says the same thing?
Yeah.
All right. It's either a mistake or it's true. Perfection, by any definition, is still perfect.
Ang kahulugan sa gitawag na pagkahimpit is himpit kayo.
So there's something that you can do that helps them to be perfect. Hallelujah. There is an ongoing development in God with each ensuing generation of people.
Aduna kayo'y mabutang na gibutang sa Dios diha sa batag usa ng Dios magkatanong niini.
Every generation, there is a segment of people in that generation that achieve a certain measure of perfection on the basis of the knowledge that they have of God.
Kung imong tanawon mga igsoon ang matag generasyon o ang matag kaliwatan nga moabot dito sa lain nga kaliwatan, aduna gayoy gibutang sa Dios nga mga tao nga makaabot kayo sa iyang impitan.
Now, the proof we have of that, the first question you should ask me, is where in the Bible can I find it? And you find it where Noah, God's recommendation concerning Noah, was that Noah was perfect in his generation. We'll find you the reference. Not only that, but in Hebrews, God says of Noah, and the standard of righteousness that was given by Noah's obedience to God, that God judged the whole earth. Hello?
Did you?
That's what your Bible says. It says it in Hebrews when it talks about the men and the women of faith. You need to look it up. By one man, God judged the whole earth. God did not judge the earth on the standard of God's righteousness. God judged it on the standard of one man. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh boy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we find that there is a process of perfection that God is working in the earth, and it's not a process just to perfect us, but it is a process by which we overcome the factors that want to prevent us from being like God. So you become the deciding factor. You become the deciding factor. Without you, devil can do nothing. You are the powerhouse. Do you hear me? You are the powerhouse. You are the source of power that the devil needs to do what the devil wants to do. Without you, the minute you decide to cut the devil off, he's finished. He's finished. Hard to believe, isn't it? You see, the devil wants to you to believe that he's this big, bad devil. So everything bad that happens, you just blame the devil. You rebuke the devil. You just rebuke him and rebuke him and rebuke him. I have a little grandson. He goes around saying, "Buke you, devil, buke you, devil." Hallelujah. You can rebuke him till your lips pala.
Ha? Makarimyo ka rin ko, mga panghihirin na nila sa dalas sa pagkipan. Hindi magkutip-kutip yung baka.
If you do not understand the power source from which he is getting his strength. Hallelujah. All right. What is this power source? Genesis chapter
1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. Hallelujah. You know, because there is a Christ, there is an Antichrist. Hallelujah. And in the beginning, this aspect of Antichrist is represented in the darkness that was prevailing in the beginning. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 4. Hallelujah. You know, you can use the Bible to explain the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 4. This is the only place in the Bible, and that's why it is so significant. That uses this exact terminology that is used in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. The only place. But it also tells you the condition. Or it defines the darkness. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I would suggest you go and you read all of chapter 4. So that you get the context of it. But chapter 4 is a chapter of rebellion against God. Hallelujah. I want us to go Jeremiah chapter 4. And hear ye the lamentation by the prophet of the heart of God.
Verse 19.
It says, My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of roar. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, and my curtains in a moment.
Pagkalumpag, ibabaw sa pagkalumpag, mauling gisingit, kay ang tibuok ng yuta na laglag.
How long shall I see the standard and hear the trumpet?
Hangtod anos aba ako magkita.
For my people is foolish. That is present tense.
O mabati ang tingog sa trumpeta, kay ang akong katawhan mga buwang-buwang.
That means they have been and they are still. They have not known me.
wala gayon sila makasipalo kanako.
You can put a little note right there if you want. Go over into the New Testament and find the scripture that talks about those who will be cast into outer darkness. It was members of a church. They said, have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not healed people in your name? Have we not done many works in your name? What did he say? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. They were doing the healing. They were doing the blessing. They were doing the building. They were doing the preaching. They were building the orphanages. Hallelujah. But in all they're doing, they did not take the time to know Him. Hallelujah. It says, for my people is foolish, they have not known me, they are stoppish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Romans, the 8th chapter. Hallelujah. We will hear the lamentation of Paul. Verse 14, chapter 7, I'm sorry. I think I told you chapter
8.
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin.
What verse?
14.
7:14. 14. Ang kasuguan apat ako lawas nun o di ka balik ya aron mapaulipon sa sala.
For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent or agree unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Hallelujah. You need to highlight that verse. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but the how to perform that which is good I find not.
Hallelujah. mosulod sa akong lawas ni anak kanako pag tinguha sa maayo apan dili ko makabuhat sa ini.
Hallelujah. Let's just drop down to the 24th verse. You can go back and read the rest of it. It says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death?
Alaot ako nga tao kinsay makaluwas kanako gikan niining lawasa nga iya sa kamatayon.
I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin.
Salamat sa Dios.
Hallelujah.
Kristo Jesus nga ato Ginoo, busa pinaagi sa akong salabutan ang gidalagaran ko mao ang kasuguan sa Dios, apan pinaagi sa akong lawas ang gidalagaran ko mao ang
Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Now, this condition in Genesis chapter 1, by the definition of what is found in Jeremiah chapter 4, what we can ascertain is that something was happening in the heavenly that was magnifying and bringing forth the thing that the scripture calls darkness. And what we know from the scriptures is that was the rebellion of the angelic host against the authority of God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Isaiah.
Isaiah
28. This chapter in Isaiah, you have to understand Isaiah was a prophet. And what I know about a prophet, especially the Old Testament prophets, the Spirit of God would descend upon them. They had no will other than to speak what God was speaking to them and through them to a people in front of them. And the thing about a prophetic word is that prophetic word continues on through the dispensations of time until it comes to a place of fullness. You find this in the scripture. In fact, you can find it in Isaiah as well as in the New Testament. When the angel came to Mary, the word that had been spoken by Isaiah concerning the advent of the birth of Jesus had been spoken many years prior to his coming. But that working was working in the conditions of Israel and all of the things that were happening that were prophesied by the prophet until the angel appeared again to Mary and spoke to her the word that the prophet prophet Isaiah spoke. Hallelujah. And you will find that in Matthew or Luke. Look it up, Bible students. Hallelujah. And one of the things the angel said to Mary
is,
no word of God goes out and then turns around and comes back to him empty. What it says, it goes out through time from generation to generation. Hallelujah. Gaining in strength and momentum, gaining in its maturity and fullness, till it reaches the point of which God had desired it to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So if a word comes to you prophetically, that word is not something you just write on a paper and you stick it on a shelf, but it is a promise to you from God. And you can come back to it again and again and again, requiring of God to bring forth the fullness of the word that He spoke to you. Hallelujah. But let us go back to Isaiah. Hallelujah. So Isaiah the prophet is prophesying by the Spirit of God. He's using a natural situation to identify spiritual reality. When he says, woe unto the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is fading, flower which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine.
And my God, sa purong-purong, sa pagpalabi-labi sa mga palahu sa Ephraim o ang nagawalos.
He's not only dealing with Ephraim in the natural arena, but he's dealing with the church in the end time. Go back, look up the name Ephraim. Hallelujah. Look up the meaning of Ephraim. Hallelujah. Do you know that Ephraim was cut off? God completely cut them off. Hallelujah. But he's not only dealing with that arena, he's also demonstrating or showing us what happened in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And he's putting the two together. Because what Ephraim was doing and what Ephraim was becoming is what happened in the beginning. And what happened in the beginning and what happened with Ephraim is now what is happening with the church in our present day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says the pride, the verse 3, the crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden underfoot.
Ang mga purong-purong sa mga palabi-labi-hon sa mga palahumong sa Ephraim pagayatakan sa Tiel.
Hallelujah. Let us go on down.
At papalayan sa Tiel.
I want to go to verse 28:14, I think. Or is it Isaiah 14?
Yes.
Isaiah and Ezekiel 28. All right, praise the Lord. But I finished with Ephraim. So let us go. Let us go to 14. Hallelujah. That was probably a Holy Spirit direction there. My goodness. Hallelujah. So we have now the prophet again prophesying. And he says here in verse 11. I want to start at 11. He is prophesying about Satan. But he wasn't called Satan in the beginning. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. That's
verse 11.
How art thou fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations?
Now sa pagkahulog mo gikan sa langit, O kabugason, anak sa langit.
Verse
12.
Now, your Bible says Lucifer. What does it say? Lucifer. That's a Latin word. In a Hebrew text. Hebrew text.
Latino ka lang napinulungan nga gipahubad sa Hebrew.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
How did a Latin word get in a Hebrew text?
Yung saman pa kaya isa mo ang Latino na pinulungan nga napahisipo manito sa Hebrewano na pinulungan.
The actual word that is used in the Hebrew text is Heliel. How do you spell it?
H-E-L-I-E-L.
Right? Heliel.
Okay.
El means God.
Ang kanang El, bote-pagtapot niya na is God.
And Heliel, I believe means bright one. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us about three archangels.
Nagasulti sa tulog ang mga kigitawag na archangel.
We have Mishael. Or Michael.
Michael.
We have Gabriel.
Gabriel.
The first is a description of their position of service to God. And the L is always indicative of their position or relationship with God. Now look what his sin was.
Tanaw na doon sa man ang sala niya.
He says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High."
Okay, kaya mayon diha sa imong kasi.
Hallelujah.
Ako mo kaya ngadto sa langit, itugoy ko ang akong trono sa ibabaw sa mabitoon sa Dios. O ako magalingkod sa bukid sa mga igumanan sa kinatumyan nga dapit sa amihanan. Mo kaya ako sa ibabaw sa mga kahitaan.
Hallelujah. I will.
Ah, imo kita sa kapat ka ba imo ikson? Nagiwan siya. Ako gayod. Ako.
5 times.
Ah, lima ka ba bahin? Ako.
5 is the number of ministry.
Ang lima mo kinsya ang numero sa mga buhat or trabaho.
So there is a ministry.
Busa, aduna kayo trabaho.
A ministry of hell.
Ang ministry ang pagkatrabaho diha sa
to bring to pass what it was that Satan desired in the beginning.
Ang trabaho sa
hallelujah.
Mo kinsya paghatag oga. But
the prophet said, "Yet shall thou be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, say amen. Am I putting you to sleep?
Huh?
Maybe you should stand up and just stretch a little bit. Praise the Lord. I think you're falling asleep. Come on, stand up. Stretch. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
And listen to every single cell of my body is happy and sick. Okay.
There you go.
Every single cell of my body is happy. Every single cell of my body is well. Every single cell of my body is happy. Every single cell of my body is well. I thank you, Lord. I give to God. Every single cell of my body is well.
Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the devil really doesn't want you to have this. He really doesn't. He really doesn't want you to have it. Ezekiel 28. Chapter 28. And while you're trying to find it, I will give you a little history. God is again using a prophetic word to bring judgment on a man in a situation or a circumstance that he was in. You know, this man must have been a lot like the Antichrist that is going to come. Because he goes from dealing with the man on this natural level to dealing with the devil or Heliel or Satan, as we now call him.
Ah,
Hallelujah. And in order for us to have an understanding of who and what He is and what it is that He desires to do. Hallelujah. I'm giving you really about a week's worth of information in a crash course. Hallelujah. May God have mercy on us. My goodness. It says, verse 11, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying..." Verse 11, chapter 28, book of Ezekiel. Now, you need to go back and read the entire chapter. You need to see that I'm not taking it out of context. I don't want you just to take what I say and clap and say amen and go out of here. I want you to get into the Word and let God talk to you. Because I am very, very, very confident that God will talk to you. How many of you have the baptism in the Holy Spirit? I want to see hands. Those of you who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want to see your hands. Praise the Lord. Let's get your hands up there. You guys are afraid to raise your hands. All right. Praise the Lord. Those of you who have the Holy Spirit should pray for the rest of them that don't. Because you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the speaking in tongues. You need it. It's absolutely essential. So if you don't have the baptism and you do not speak in tongues, get down before God and pray and ask God to give it to you. Because it says in the Bible that in order for you to see or to enter into the kingdom of God, you have to be baptized in water. You have to be baptized in the Spirit. And if you are baptized in the Spirit, you have the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth will reveal to you the character of God. You don't have the baptism to get those little fuzzy wuzzies that go all over your arms. Are the things that run all over your body? Are those woo moments? You have got the Spirit of God to tell you about God. Anything else is circumstantial and extra thing that God gives. You have deliverance, you have a healing, you have prophecy, you have word of discernment, word of knowledge, and all of the different things that come with it. Those are byproducts. They are not goals to be achieved. And they come because you get to know God in a greater way. And quite frankly, if God gave you right now the gift of healing, it would destroy you. You'd go out and buy a tent. You would hold big meetings, people coming and healing. The more healing and more famous you become, the richer you would get, the more tents you would buy, it would destroy you. It would destroy you. Not one of those men ended up in righteousness. Not one of them. There were some very mighty men of God. There was a man called Oral Roberts. There was a man called A.A. Allen. There was a man called Branham. You may not know any of these names. Mighty men of God. Each having a particular specialty in God. Hallelujah. Every one of them was destroyed. Destroyed. Hallelujah. So you have to know God. Hallelujah. It says here, verse 12, Son of Man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty.
Magbako ka tungod sa hari sa Tiro og mubingon ka kani ha, mao kini ang giingon sa Ginoong iyo pa ikaw nagapati.
Thou hast
libut sa kada tibok ang dumulo sa kinaadman o hintit nga katahong.
Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Hallelujah.
Tanaman sa Dios, tanang mga mahal na bato, mauimong tabon, ang sargyo, topisyo, or mga diamante, o ang berilo, ang onyx, o ang jaspe, o ang silvero, o ang esmeralda, o sa kabung sa karbon hero, o ang bulawan, ang binuhahatan sa imong tambol o ang imong mga blauta diha kaniya sa adlaw sa pag-umol kanimo diha na andam na.
My goodness, he's not talking about a man.
Anak ko daw.
Tyrus wasn't in the garden.
Si Tyrus na sa garden.
But there was an entity that was there besides Adam, and his name was Heliel, but he canceled out his position and he became Satan. We can go on.
Okay.
It says, by the multitude of thy merchandise, They have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire.
Ikaw ang binihog na silubim na nagasabon o ako nagapamag kanimo sa pagkaagi na ikaw dihan sa balaan ng bukid sa Diyos. Ikaw nagakasnaog sa taliwala sa mga bato ng kalayo.
I thought I did read it. Oh, okay. Well, yes, you missed. Go ahead and read verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth.
And
you did it. All right. Praise God. You're one step ahead of me. Praise the Lord. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy reason, thy wisdom, by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee.
Verse 17.
Okay. Ang imong kasing-kasing ipataas tungod sa imong katahong. Gidaot mo ang imong kinaadman tumod sa imong kasilaw. Gipukan ko ikaw ngadto sa yuta. Gipapahamutang ko ikaw sa atubangan sa mga hari. Aron sila makasulpong kanimo.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And then he says, thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquities of thy traffic. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It will devour thee. It shall bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of them that behold thee. Praise the Lord.
Tumos kadaghan sa imong mga sala diha sa pag kadili matarong sa imong patigayon. Ikaw nagpasipala sa imong imong abalaan mga puloyanan. Busa ako nagpakulaog kalayo gikan sa imong taliwala. Kini mao naglapoy kanimo. O ikaw, mahimo ko na abo, diha sa yuta, sa atubangan kanilang tanan, na nagsulong kanimo.
So, in the mind of God, and His desire in the beginning of time, He wanted to, one, make a son, but he had to deal with the devil, and he had to deal with that which gave the devil his power.
Okay, imong makita din ha ang tingwa sa Dios, una makapatong siya o anak, unya iyang badlungon or iyang idil or badlungon sa tanan, o ikatulo is makabaton o gigikan ang sagahong.
Hallelujah. And the Bible calls this power darkness.
O ang Biblia nagasulti niini may tungo niini nga kaligitan.
But we can define the darkness by the scriptures we have just read. Darkness equals rebellion. And it is not passive. It is not passive it by nature. Do we know what passive is? You need to understand passive. It doesn't just sit there.
Dugo dili ni ingon nga kada magpundo lang ha, mapadayon siya. Padayon.
It's the opposite of action. It's aggressive. If I say the word malignant, cancer is malignant. And cancer in the natural is a lot like darkness in the spirit. Cancer is very aggressive, very scary. Anytime you hear that someone has cancer, what are your first thoughts? Oh my. Huh? They're dead. We think that they're dead. Huh? Hopeless. Isn't that true? That's how malignant darkness is. You have to look at something spiritual from a natural perspective so you can understand the jeopardy of it. You know, I know people who have had cancer. And I know the means to which they went to try to stay alive. The operation, the chemo, the radiation. And yet, at the end of the day, dead. Hallelujah. This is the nature of this darkness. Hallelujah. Well, that wouldn't be so bad, I don't suppose. If it weren't for the fact that we all are infected with it. Hallelujah. So God, in the beginning, you have eternity here, and then somewhere in the midst of eternity, God began something. God began. Now, He called that beginning Omega. Alpha, yes, sorry. I didn't hear any Bible students though. I heard this man. A God who has no beginning suddenly has a beginning. What? What are you talking about? He either has no beginning or he has a beginning. What are you talking about? Well, he has no beginning, but he has a beginning. It's not the beginning of God. It's the beginning of the plan that God has for what He is doing between the covers of this book. And the good news is that He has an Omega. Hello? A God that has no beginning, no end, has a beginning and an end. I'm sitting in my room. I'm reading my Bible. And it says Alpha and Omega. I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Alpha and Omega? How can that be? You have no beginning. You have no end. And yet you call yourself Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. There is something of a mystery. And God wants you to know the mystery. But you have to be in the Word, wanting it, before it comes out at you. You have probably heard Alpha and Omega. Alpha and Omega. There's a song even we sang, isn't it? Yeah, isn't there a song we sang? I am the Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. Did you ever stop to think of the inconsistency of a beginning and an end with a God that has no beginning or end? You know, the church says we live this time frame in order to get into heaven. You live, you're born, you grow up, you marry, you have children, you suffer, you work it through, tribulation, trouble, pushing through, trudging on through life, with the promise of one day you will break through into heaven. And if that is, if you're lucky, and you make it through, that means you have to be faithful in going to church, paying your tithe, and doing all of the things that the church tells you to do, which you can't do. You can't do it. I ask you, does that sound like God? Does it sound like God to you? I want to read something to you. Genesis chapter 2. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And while they were yet male and female in one entity, he blessed them. And the blessing that he blessed them in that condition was the blessing given on both of them. What is the blessing? And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. May I ask you, do you think God has changed his mind? Do you think that God considers us now a mistake? Hello? I'm asking you a serious question. Are you a mistake? Do you think that God's intention in the beginning is the intention that God is bringing down through time to come to a place of fullness and completeness? So that God can have what He wanted in the end in what He began in the beginning. If you think you are a mistake, you're in trouble. And you're devil food. If you think you're a mistake, or if you act like you're a mistake, if you don't believe what it is that God said in the beginning, it's pertinent to you now. You are devil food. Oh me, oh my. Oh boy. Because the devil has been given the right to feed off of you for as long as you want him to feed off of you. If you go on into this chapter and then into chapter 3, you will find that the Lord cursed the devil. He says, "On your belly shalt thou go," talking to a snake, and said, "Thus shalt thou eat." Do you know any snake that eats dirt? He said unto man, "Thus thou art." And unto dust shalt thou return. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? It is you that gives the devil the power that he needs. Hallelujah. Oh boy. And it says that God, in the beginning, there was a darkness. And in the beginning it said God spoke. God created time.
Ang Diyos naghimo siya o takna.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And He encapsulated the darkness in the realm of time.
Iya pinigong mga
isang
gitigong gitawag ini siya o mga oras.
God was now working to define it. God is now working to bring it down. Do you hear me? It's difficult to understand. But what I'm telling you is the Word of God. And it said that God, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Hello? Come on. Did you hear it? No sun, no sun. No sun yet. So he's not talking about natural light. What he's talking about is the encapsulation of darkness in the midst of eternity. You now have light all around it. And you now have darkness within it. Hallelujah. And this, if this God would have left us in this condition, we would have been men most miserable. But in this realm of time, God created the day and the night. Hello? Did you hear that? He divided it again. Brought it down again. My God. Because in God's mind, God knew what the solution was. He also knew that if he wanted to make an entity within of his own nature, that nature must have the opportunity to overcome that darkness. Now, how do I know that God had a plan? Well, if you turn over to Revelation, I believe it's chapter 17. Maybe. Let me look. Maybe it's 21. Maybe it's 13. Where does it say that the lamb was slain? I used to have it marked in my Bible. Do you know where it's at? Somebody knows where it's at. They can... It is in chapter 17. No, that's not it. I need to find this verse for you. Let's look here. Mark, where is it?
The land was slain before the foundation of the world.
Huh? All right. Well, there was a provision already made. Oh, it's verse. It's chapter 13, verse 8. Chapter 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. This is the beast, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This verse is consistent with the thought of Alpha and Omega. So here we have the light divided from the darkness. You have the day, which is represented by the sun that rules it. You could just as well say son, S-O-N. It says that the sun to rule the day. You could just and sun to rule the day, you could just as well say S-O-N. It says to moon to rule the night. And you could just as well say church for moon. Hallelujah. If you want a scripture for that, it is in Revelation 12. Where you see the moon church and the woman on the moon. Hallelujah. Pregnant with another church. Hallelujah. Now, there is yet one more thing that God needed to do. Because you see this realm of darkness is a source and a power all of its own. Samuel, when he spoke to Saul, he defined what rebellion is. He said that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That any rebellion, that's every rebellion, no matter how big it is, how small it is, from a little baby to an older man, if you move in rebellion, you are working the sin of witchcraft. And that is why we need to discipline our children. The children should not be telling the parents how to behave. The children should not be running the house. Are you listening to me? Children should be still when they should be still. I had two granddaughters 3 years of age who was with us in a conference. There was a message being preached on the blood of Jesus Christ. I do not know what those two little girls heard, but what I do know is that what they heard caused them to be saved. 3-year-old little girl crawls up into my lap at the end of the meeting, and she says to me, "Grandpa, I do not want to be naughty anymore." Did you hear me? She heard something in the spirit. 3 years old. If we had not had her there on the blanket, if we had not had her there doing her thing, little quiet thing, if we were not working with her to keep her interested in what was going on, she would not have heard the word of God. And we would have been guilty. Can you hear me? We would have been guilty and her blood would have been on my hands. The thing that I notice about children in this hour is they run the show. You tell them to do something, they don't do it. You try to make them do it, they throw a fit. And then you try to make them not throw a fit by doing something that they like. Or pamper them. Child needs to learn to obey. And they need to learn to obey before they're 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years of age. I don't want to foster rebellion. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you something. You have something the devil doesn't have. The devil is not made like you. He's made different from you. What you have in you is the ability to create. Did you hear me? Devil was not created to create. Only one entity that God created has the ability to procreate itself. So the devil had to do something. Because the devil does not have the capability of harnessing the darkness and use it as a creative force. Do you hear me? God did not give him that ability. If God would have given him that ability, we would be finished. We would be done. We would have no opportunity or chance. So the devil needed man. So there had to come yet another division of darkness, another bringing down of darkness. My God. The devil had to trick man to do something that would bring man into a place and under his subjection. You know, it says here in the Bible that when he divided the day from the night and in actuality what he has done is in this particular point in time he created the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the commandment to the devil, to the people, was do not eat of it. You may eat of the tree of life. All the trees you may eat of, even the tree of life, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do not forsake it. In the day that thou eatest, you will die. But you know, God had a plan. And as the woman moved and was tempted of the devil, and she was seduced by him and came under his influence, she ate of the fruit. She became the darkness. Did you hear me? She gave to her husband. He took it, he ate it. Now the plan is complete. Darkness. Man becomes the darkness. And you know what the Bible says in Romans 6:16? To whom you yield your members, servants to obey, his servants you become. Whether servants unto righteousness, are servants unto unrighteousness and damnation. Hallelujah. Romans, the fifth chapter, 12th verse. Wherefore, as by one man, I'm going to use the word darkness, entered into the world, and death by darkness. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Humanity was subjugated to darkness. And man had subjected himself to the devil, and now the devil had the creative force he needed to fulfill his plan of destruction.
Ito diyan man sa tao ngayon sa tanas ng iyong kaugalingon kaya ang tao ano naman siya ay abilidad sa pagbuga ng karoon si sa tanas na himo na siyang makabugna.
Hallelujah. We would be men most miserable with this understanding of revelation. If it were not for the blood of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John. Chapter
1.
There is much more that I could share with you, but I'm going to suffice it for the time being to be. I don't want to leave you in darkness. Hallelujah. John chapter 1. And I encourage you to read the whole chapter. It is a marvelous word of God to us as a people. It talks about God as the Word and as the light and as the life. And it says, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And it's not in the aspect of the name Jesus, as it is in the aspect of the nature of God in you. A nature that is to be birthed and developed and grow to a place of maturity, where, as it says in Corinthians, death or darkness is swallowed up in light or light. Hallelujah. And it says that the word was made flesh. Do you hear it? The word that you are hearing is the word that has the ability to become your flesh. And it says, we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us understand glory. It's not a Shekinah light or a thing that is an aura around a person. It's not something supernatural. A glowing of the skin. The glory that God calls glory is the reality of his presence. The strength of his preeminence. The triuneness of God that is demonstrated and being radiated out of a soul that is sold out to God. Hallelujah! 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 And it says in verse 13. No, but as many as received him, to him he gave power. Yes, I read that one. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. We are not only talking about Jesus Christ, but we are talking about you. We are talking about me. If we have been born again, and I have been born out of darkness, the Bible says we are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
The light of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, and it says that word was made flesh. Do you hear it? You know, I go to God. I go to God in the midst of my humanness. I go down before the Lord in my carnality, in my flesh. And I say, God, I invoke the promise. I do not want to manifest my nature, my flesh, my carnality. I do not want the word that I have to be head knowledge, intellectual thinking. I want the word that I'm speaking with my mouth, But I want it. I want it. Hallelujah. 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 And then it says again here somewhere that the light shineth into the darkness. Verse 5. Yes. And the light, verse 5. And the light shineth into my darkness.
Sa taliwala, kahaya na gadaan sa taliwala sa kagigitan.
And it says, my darkness cannot comprehend it.
Ang kagigitan, wala makabuntog kaniya.
That word, comprehend, in the Greek.
Ang pulong biyara pagkabuntog.
That word in the Greek, to comprehend it, means it has no power to stop it. No power! I just have to decide. I just have to put myself up on the altar. I must abide when the fire falls. I must keep my mind centered on the fact that it is the process of God converting my soul and making His word flesh within me, so that when I come out of that oven, there will be a testimony of Jesus Christ. There will be an evidence of His presence. There will be a testimony of His victory. My God. My God, may God bless you. May God bless you. May God bless you.
Amen.